So I'm here to preserve the Foundation's history and its future history. So I'm actively, right now, preserving all of the paper records from the last 75 years.
Hello, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health. You are listening to Into the Fold, the Hogg Foundation podcast. The Hogg Foundation is a grant-making foundation and part of the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more about the history of the Hogg Foundation and our grant programs, visit us at www.hogg.utexas.edu. This episode is going to be a little bit of a departure for us. The foundation is in the middle of a year-long celebration of its 75th anniversary. And as much as anything else, it has been an occasion for giving the world a glimpse of the foundation's archive of stuff. Documents and photos and publications and audio recordings that serve to illuminate some of the events and the personalities that have shaped the Hogg Foundation from its inception to the present. So our guest today is Elizabeth Stauber, the Hogg Foundation's newly hired archivist and records manager. For the first time, at least since I've been here, the foundation now has something of an in-house expert on its own history, and she's here with us to clue us in to what her work entails and what she hopes to achieve. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, first, tell us just a little bit about yourself. What series of events led you to where you're now at Hogg?
Well, I grew up in Texas, Houston specifically, and I went to the University of Texas as my undergraduate and then again as my graduate. My first degree was in art history, and I had this vision that I would be working in museums, but I ended up not liking that environment very much, and so I took some time to work in a biology lab for a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I went to graduate school to work in libraries and archives, which is just a much more friendly, welcoming environment. I actually, about a month before coming to the Hogg Foundation, I visited Bayou Bend, which was Miss Ima's her home in Houston. This was before I had even applied, so it must have been some sort of good karma coming at me with that.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how do you, you haven't had that much time to get your feet wet. I mean, about how long has it been since you were hired on full time?
2 weeks.
Okay. And to make it clear, you had been a graduate research assistant here.
Yes.
And when did that start?
You don't mind. 2 years ago.
Okay. So you're quite familiar with us.
Yeah.
And so how do you understand your new role as the foundation's archivist, and what milestones, if we can call them that, are you looking forward to in 2016?
So I'm here to preserve the foundation's history and its future history. So I'm actively, right now, preserving all of the paper records from the last 75 years that we have on site that I've been able to find. Because there hasn't been a position like this, they've been scattered all out through the offices, and so I've spent the last 2 years trying to collect them, and now I'm organizing them and trying to make them accessible to the staff so that people can do research on the types of programs that the Hogg Foundation has done in the past and other things like that. But I'm also working to create better processes that preserve our electronic records that are being created now, so that 50 years, right, when we have, 125-year anniversary, we can have these records to showcase.
Now, you are a product of the School of Information at UT Austin, and you already mentioned that at some point there was a shift in your thinking that made you decide to go into to archives.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing that I was wondering is if there are any intellectual mentors or role models for how to conduct yourself in your new role, or was there just some like personal epiphany that you had that led to the career shift?
It was a personal epiphany.
Yeah.
I had tried to work in museums for a little bit, but I realized that it wasn't for me. I wasn't a fan of the environment, and I thought about what is it that I like about museums. I like research. I like learning. And libraries were just much more welcoming, and it's all about access and providing information for people, which was much more in line with how I feel. So that's what led me to the school. At the School of Information, I really found Dr. Diane Bailey to be super inspiring. I took a class presenting information, and that's been something that I've drawn on every day of my job here, trying to communicate the type of work I'm doing to people who haven't necessarily directly encountered archives before.
Okay. And so, and I guess this next question, it gives you an opportunity, to be a little scholarly, if you will. So from your point of view as our in-house historian, in essence, what stands out to you as some of the major continuities, as well as discontinuities, in how the Hogg Foundation conducts its affairs?
Mm-hmm.
What would stand out, let's say, if to a time traveler from from the year 1955,
mm-hmm.
That was around the time that we first started, I think, awarding grants. What would stand out to them as being very different about how the foundation has evolved, or not so different?
Well, most obviously for me is this podcast is kind of a continuation of what Bert Krueger Smith did in the 80s with her radio show, The Human Condition. I feel like there's a lot of parallels between what you're doing and what she did, which is really great.
Yeah, I consider that a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bert Krueger Smith is an inspiration. So.
And if I could just cut in for a minute, I encourage everybody to to listen to some samples of The Human Condition. It was our radio broadcast series, I think, ran from, 1971 to 1983?
Roughly,
yeah. And so if you go to our Hogg History website, which is hogghistory1word.org, you can navigate your way to a very small selection of Human Condition episodes, just to give you a taste of what it was. So thank you for that, Elizabeth, and
mm-hmm.
give me that chance to, to plug The Human Condition, I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, you were saying about
continuity
and change, yes.
Yeah, well, also I think that the student support that the Hogg Foundation gives is very much in the same vein as Will Hogg. When he was around, he would often, most of the time anonymously, give out scholarships to students in need for attending the University of Texas. They strongly believed in everyone being able to get an education. And the Hogg Foundation continues that with not only just in giving out scholarships and fellowships, but in providing a lot of job opportunities for graduate students, which I got to experience in my time here.
Okay. So let's say that you're given free rein, however you define that.
Mm-hmm.
How will you have left your mark on Hogg by the time you move on?
Well, I'll have a functioning archive that is at the very least accessible to everyone on the staff, but I would ideally like to make some of the records accessible to the public so that people can see the contributions that the Hogg Foundation has made to Texas history and Texans' mental health. So being able to bring in outside researchers to learn more about the Hogg Foundation.
Okay. And so you have a dual title, archivist and records manager. Now, this isn't something that I widely advertise, but I myself have just started taking graduate courses at the School of Information. And one of the very few things that I understand at this point is that archiving and records management are actually quite distinct responsibility areas. And so tell us a little bit more about what managing our records will entail and what challenges you'll be facing in doing that.
They are definitely distinct, but they're intricately connected. Records management is kind of the umbrella to archives. It's the process in which something can be put into the archive. So when records are actively being created in day-to-day business, it's important that we're able to keep track of them and manage them so that in the future, if they are historically significant, we don't lose them and we're able to preserve them long-term. So with the dual title, I'm able to keep tabs on what everybody is creating and doing so that I can make room for it in our archives, either physical or electronic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I guess a corollary question would be, how easy or difficult is it to impress upon, day-to-day staff the importance of making their output recordable in the way that you mean? Because I think it's something that most people don't spend a great deal of time thinking about.
No. It's not easy. It's definitely something that is often pushed to the side and forgotten about and not thought about. But if done right, it can really make workflows more efficient and easier because you'll be able to more quickly retrieve things that you've done in the past instead of always having to recreate files or documents.
Right.
And most people don't quite understand exactly what it is, so there's a lot of trying to communicate its importance and actually what it is.
Okay, yeah, we're a self-critiquing foundation, folks, and I guess the work that you'll be doing here will bring out an added dimension of that, and that's if things go well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe give us some examples of some of the historical items or even curiosities that you've come across since you've been here. And do you have any personal favorites?
Well, the most curious one was when I was going through a bunch of boxes of what I was told were Hogg family artifacts. And I was going through and I was taking inventory of what everything was in there, and I opened up a small little green box and it was full of hair, which I later found out to be Miss Ima Hogg's hair. So that was a little disconcerting at first, but it's actually quite common practice in her time to collect and keep other loved ones' hair. So that was a little disconcerting. More interestingly, though, I've really enjoyed finding the old scripts of movies and TV shows that the Hogg has produced over the years, especially during the 60s. They did a lot of productions with local PBS stations that were interesting to read and find.
Okay. Are any of those on the website currently?
No.
Okay. Well, I certainly would like to get my hands on at least a few of those because I have my own questions about those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much interested in other forays into media that we've done.
Definitely.
Over the years, because I still think that there's probably a lot of hidden gems.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
I would like an example of something, fiction or nonfiction, that you've read recently that's moved you and. Ideally, something that's given you some deep insight into archiving, but not necessarily. Just anything that has helped to shape how you see things.
Well, in December, right after graduating, I read The Buried Giant by Ishiguro. And he also wrote Never Let Me Go, and which was made into a movie with Carey Mulligan. And it was a really great book, too.
Is that about the elderly couple?
No.
Never Let Me Go. Okay.
I can't tell you what it's about because it's twisty and it's a spoiler.
Oh, okay. But
The Buried Giant was a really excellent book, and it was mostly about the collective forgetting of a tragic event. And throughout the book, you slowly reveal, because everyone's under a fog of forgetting and they don't remember this terrible war that happened, and slowly it's revealed throughout the book. But what's also interesting, I mean, you can think about that in terms of archives. If you don't actively work to preserve it, you're going to lose it, and then there is a collective forgetting of what's happened. But more current news, Ishiguro, his archive was actually just collected by the Harry Ransom Center. So a lot of his manuscripts and drafts and his research and works for his previous books are going to be available for the public at one of our great institutions here.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see some of what Elizabeth has been helping us to do, again, please visit hoghistory.org. And also, you know, if you happen to be in the Austin area and you ever feel like dropping in, there's a very handsome display case now in our main lobby. Just, you know, some of the more eye-catching publications. If nothing else, you'll get a sense of how we've approached cover design over the years. And in fact, there's an entire section of the Hogg History website that delves into that subject. So for any art history buffs, that might be a subject of interest too. And so, Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing what you're able to help mold us into while you're here.
I'm excited. I can't wait.